But Father, I truly do thank you for all who came out to sit in your presence tonight. I thank you, Father God, that they came for a purpose and you're going to meet that purpose. I thank you, Father God, that your Holy Spirit is here in all of its splendor. I thank you for angelic hosts who are walking throughout the aisles, Father God, meeting the needs of the people. I thank you for your Son, Jesus, and his blood. I thank you, Father God, that you are who you are, the great I am. And Father, open up our ears tonight to hear what thus saith the Lord. Let us receive it into our spirit, man, Father. And Father, I truly do thank you and praise you for all that you have done for each one of us here tonight and for what you're going to do for us each and every day for the rest of our lives. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God is an awesome God, like we sang in that song. And God does want to bless us and not curse us. It's up to us what we're ready to receive from the Father. And he has every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob right here to give to you so that you can be all that he's called you for it to be. I never want you to ever think that you have to walk with your head down. I want you to walk with your head straight up. And I want you to know that you are a child of God and that God is for you, not against you. Now, the enemy's trying to make God's children believe otherwise. But I want you to understand one thing. It doesn't matter what happened in your life. It really doesn't. What matters today is what are you doing with the life that God has given you? Everybody goes through trials and tribulations. You know, that's just the way, that's life. You're no different than anybody else. When Jesus walked the earth, he went through his trials and tribulations. If you read about the disciples, they all went through their trials and tribulations. If you read the whole Bible, every one of God's children went through trials and tribulations. We are different than the world, though, because even though we're going through trials and tribulations, we know that we have a Father who is walking with us, and he's going to see us come out victoriously at every turn. Bad things happen. Somebody in here needs to hear this. Bad things happen to everybody. I don't think there's one person who walked the face of the earth that something bad does not happen to them. So don't think you're just a lone ranger being picked on, because the enemy is always out to take God's children. He's always out to steal, kill, and destroy. I want you to be uplifted tonight. I want you to know that God is for you, not against you. And I want you to know that no matter what comes down the road in the world, you are not of the world. And God said, he told us a couple years ago, all this stuff was going to happen, but he was going to keep us. That we don't have to be concerned about anything. He is going to keep us. Now, do you really believe that? I was witness to somebody today, and I said, you know, God has always supplied all of my needs. Always. Not an overabundance, but he's always supplied my needs. He's always kept me from the day I was born until now. A lot of people can't say that, but I'm going to tell you right now, we can. Each one of us sitting here tonight, we can say that God has always kept us. If you don't believe that, look back over your life and see the different things that happened in your life. And some of us shouldn't even be sitting here today. You're sitting here today because God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He has a works that he needs you to do in this end time dispensation. But when God called me, when I was 50 years old, I said, God, I wasted so much of my time. He said, no, you didn't. Everything that happened to you up to this point was for a reason. And now I'm going to use you, and what happened to you is going to be your testimony. So whatever you went through up to this moment in time, God wanted you to go through it because now it is your testimony. If you're truly following God, now it'll become your testimony and you'll be able to lead others to Christ. You can say, well, look, I was where you were at one day. And God showed up on the scene and God has brought me forth. And if he brought me forth, he can bring you forth. If he can cover me, he'll cover you. We need to start doing our part and get out into the world and let people know, hey, I was where you were at one time. And God redeemed me from the snare of the fowler. But instead, we don't do that. When we talk to somebody and they could say, no, you know, this and this and this is going on in life. But the first thing we do is say, oh, I went through that too. It's really bad. We aren't uplifting about it. And we don't say, yes, I was there one day, but I'm not there anymore. I'm now redeemed and God has brought me through that mess. And let me help you come through your mess also. We serve a God who is loyal, faithful, and true. No matter what we do, we're not always loyal, faithful, and true to God, but he is to us. He never turns his back on us. Sometimes we turn our back on God, but he never, ever turns his back on us. Now, I'm going to be speaking more or less to this church, but I want you all to really listen to what I'm saying. Because God is a God of abundance. And God, like I said, God is always faithful. Ever since God called us to begin this church in 1980, he has always told us what to do, how to do, and when to do. And I've been a faithful servant, and I always do what God tells me to do, no matter what it is. And God always blesses me because of my obedience. I'm telling you that to tell you this. If you will just listen to God's voice and you will hear what he says and you do what he tells you to do, he will keep you. And you will become a blessing and not a curse. And you will bring others out of the troubled waters and you'll bring them up onto the shore and to walk in peace and perfect harmony. But you have to be obedient to God. You have to do the simple things he tells you to do. And you know, I was told this morning, I'm going to say it again, when I was sitting here Wednesday night and after the teaching and God was ministering to the people at the altar, I was sitting back there and I said, God, what are you going to do next now? And God said, daughter, this is Solomon's porch. I didn't know what that was, so I didn't tell the people that Wednesday night, but I looked it up and I want us to see what Solomon's porch is. And I want you to know that I serve the best God there ever was. He is an awesome God. And, you know, because he's asked me to do simple things, and I've done simple things. But he's always had a blessing behind that simple thing. I'm just going to tell you some of the things God asked me to do. First of all, when we opened a church, he said this church would always be a swinging door church. And he's told me that he would send in ministers and I would teach them and they would go forth and minister. I thought he meant, well, actual pastors do come in here. But what he was telling me is people like you all would come through these doors and God would use me to teach you what you needed to know and equip you. And then he would send you out and he would use you in the ministry that he wanted to use you in. This is where the swinging door comes in. And I just even said about a month ago, I said, well, God, you were down to a handful again. So you taught those others what you want them to know. You sent them forth. Now I need a new group. I need some more students. And so God's been bringing more different people in little by little. And they're being taught now how to minister to the lost that's out there on those streets. And we know that a lot of people are out there lost. And God told me right up front that we were the second John the Baptist and we were forerunners and we were a remnant. In other words, it's just a small group of people that God has gathered. And there's many remnant churches all around this world. We're not the only one, but we're a small group of people that God has gathered together to tell the truth of the gospel to prepare the second coming of Jesus Christ. Didn't John the Baptist in the Bible teach the people that Jesus was coming? And he taught repentance. He cried repentance all the time. And he said, this is what we would do. And one day I was driving in my car to work, and somebody was teaching on the churches. And I said, God, what church are we? He said, you are the Philadelphia church. And you know, and so I studied about the Philadelphia church. And then just about a year ago, I said, God, what church are we now? He said, you're still the Philadelphia church. He said, you haven't changed. And that is a good thing. The Philadelphia church is a good thing. All right. So then one day I was doing something and God said, I want you to put up a sign that says House of Refuge. Didn't know what that was all about. So I said, somebody make me a sign and put it in the window, House of Refuge. And we did that. And then God said, you're going to be a hub of revival. And so that has been happening to this church since we started. And then he told me whenever I started baptizing people, he said, just don't baptize them, immerse them into my spirit. So it's just not, you know, dunk you three times and say it's done. No, we make sure you're immersed in the spirit and we make sure you have an encounter with the Almighty God. How do we do that? We ourselves walk holy. And we ourselves, we pray. And then whenever we baptize you, the Spirit of God just comes because we've prepared the atmosphere for you to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. All right. I don't know how many, I don't know about you, but every church I ever went to all my life, I had to be baptized in that church. And it was just, dunking up you go. Now you're fine. You're saved. That wasn't true. I was no more saved than a stick was. But you know, that's what they tell you. All right, this little sign we have over here. I was in at Byler's one day, and I was just drawn to that sign, and God said, buy it. So I bought it, and I was upset with the church, I'm being honest. And I said, there, you need to build a church and get over it. But that isn't what that's all about. That's all about getting your life together. And then once you get your life together, then you bring other people over to where you're at. You see that? It's just not what it is, just not simple like it looks. Then one day God said, gave us Isaiah 61 through 5 about 4 years ago. He told us right there, the glory of the Lord was in the church. All right. And then the swords on the wall that we have, I was at a church over in New Jersey and some man was selling these swords. And God said, I want you to go over there and I'm going to tell you which ones to buy. You're going to buy two. So these are the two swords he told me to buy. Now, then about 2 years ago, God told me, he said, you're no longer doing deliverances. You're now doing exorcisms. And a member of the church got all upset. You can't say you're doing exorcism. They'll shut the church down. But that's what we're doing. We're doing exorcism. All right. And then we have a sign out over the door now. I think we put up, what, 6 months ago or so. And it said, you have, and when God told me to do this, I said, come on now, God. It says, you have entered into the portals of heaven. When you walk through those doors, the sign says, you have entered the portals of heaven. I didn't want to put that up because that sounds like you're bragging, right? But that's what God said, and that's what we did. And then God spoke over us. He's at the very center of God's heart. We are in the chambers of God's heart. He told us we walk under an open heaven. He said we could enter into the third heaven and the courts were open for us. Then he told us the lighthouse has become a portal of heaven. And then he showed me Jacob's ladder was in the church. And that's where the angels go up and down with the miracles. And then Wednesday night he said, this is Solomon's porch. So after I looked at it to see what Solomon, I want you to see what an awesome God you serve. He's just not a mundane God. You know, I sat and I cried when I read this, you know, about Solomon's porch. I said, God, you are so good to me, and I'm so simple. You know, I don't have doctorate in front of my name. You know, I'm not after rubbing elbows with anybody at all because everybody has cast me away. But, God, you're so good to me. And you're so good that the people come into the church. And I watch, you know, as a prophetic word goes forth and as God ministers to people, they start weeping, you know, and they're changed. Their life is changed. And when they come to the altar, the Spirit of God is always here to meet. And they go out in the Spirit and God ministers to them as they lay in the Spirit. What more can you ask? What more can you ask? He loves us abundantly. Let's look what Solomon's porch is. Where is Solomon's porch in the Bible? Solomon's porch ran along the eastern edge of the temple area, overlooking the Kidron Valley and facing the Mount of Olives to the east. The temple precinct in Jesus' days was made up of three courts. The first was the court of Israel. The court of Israel was located as close to the altar as it was possible for a nun priest to go, and it was reserved for Israelite men only. And the second court was the court of the women. The court of the women was still in the temple, but further away from the altar than the court of Israel. Then the third court is the court of the Gentiles. The court of the Gentiles was outside the temple proper, and it was a space in which anyone could congregate. The clear implication of this arrangement was that Israelite men were closer to God than Israelite women, and that Gentiles were the furthest. Now, surrounding the court of the Gentiles were covered walkways or porches. These porches or colonnades served as protection from the heat and the weather, and would often be a place where people would discuss and debate matters with the doctors of the law. Now, on the eastern side of the court of the Gentiles was located Solomon's porch. God told me 3 years ago, He said, daughter, always look to the east. And if you really watch what's going on, it's always things in the east. God is doing something in the east. And I want you all to really be in tune to what God is doing around about you. We're in for one of the biggest moves of God that the church has ever seen. And I know you've heard that, but it is the truth. And we're right. I'm just hearing God say we're right on the precipice of falling into that great glory that He has for the church. So on the eastern side of the court of the Gentiles was located Solomon's porch. This is a place in the temple precinct where Jesus did a lot of His teaching. Remember, we're Solomon's porch. And what does God do? He gives me the words. He dictates the words that I teach to you people. So where Jesus did a lot of His teaching, Jesus, the son of David, chose to locate His temple ministry in a place where everyone could access Him. This porch just so happens to be on the eastern side of the temple. The porch of Solomon was a special place for Jesus. It was here that Jesus was seen often speaking and teaching the people or just walking. And it says in John 10:22, now it was a feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And this morning when you all were laying on the floor in the spirit, I saw Jesus for the first time in this church, and the glory of the Lord was all around about Him, and He was standing and walking in the midst of the people that were being slain in the spirit. Later, after Jesus' death, His disciples gathered there often. It was here that the disciples did the majority of their ministry. It was here that the great signs, wonders, and miracles occurred. It was a gathering place for Christians. It was here that great signs, wonders, and miracles occurred. Solomon's porch. And God said, we are Solomon's porch. And in all the years I've been ministering, this morning was the first time I've ever seen Jesus walking in this church. Jesus is perfect timing. Are you seeing this? Please don't push Jesus, God. Let Him have His perfect timing in your life. And then everything will go according to God's plan. In the book of Acts, we read about the early Christians often congregating in Solomon's porch. They all met regularly. Now look at this, Acts chapter 5, verse 12. Through the work of the apostles, many God signs were set up among the people, many wonderful things done. They all met regularly and in remarkable harmony on the temple porch named after Solomon. But even though people admired them a lot, outsiders were wary about joining them. On the other hand, those who put their trust in the Master were added right and left, men and women both. They even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on stretchers and bedrolls, hoping they would be touched by Peter's shadow when he walked by. They were at Solomon's porch, and people went up, laid their people out on the street, hoping this a shadow would touch them. They came from the villages surrounding Jerusalem, throngs of them, bringing the sick and bedeviled, and they all were healed. You know, from the time we opened this church for about, I forgot how many years it's been now. We've been here 30 years, so the last 10 years we weren't in revival, but so then for 20 years we had constant revival in this church, and people were healed. God did mighty, marvelous things that people come through the doors. And then 10 years ago, he stopped all that. But now he's starting it up again. I want you people to know that you are in a time, I'm hearing God say a strategic time in church history, where God wants to use each one of you to minister to him with great signs, wonders, and miracles. One pastor cannot do this. I don't care who they, if they think they cannot. God is using the multitudes now. He's using you people. He's been instructing you people. And he needs to use you because one person can't go everywhere. He'll use each one of you in the areas that you go into. You will meet people that your neighbor won't meet. You know, I'll see people that you won't see. And God wants to use each one of us with great signs, wonders, and miracles. And I'm here to say, can you trust me tonight? Can you believe me to work through you, to walk with you and talk with you, lead, guide, and direct you? And my Holy Spirit constantly working through you with great signs, wonders, and miracles. Let's talk about the speech that Peter made. And the setting is in Acts chapter 3, verse 11. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. Remember, the man was sitting at the gate, and he was begging, and Peter said, "We don't have any money, but we do have something for you." And they touched the man and pulled him up, and he was healed. Now look at the miracle source. You know, so Peter's the one, and Peter and John are the one who pulled him up, and he was healed. But Peter and John did not do the healing. The miracle source is in Acts 3, verse 12. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people. You know, when he saw they were all amazed, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" So he said, it wasn't us. So whatever you do, when God's using you, don't allow people to think it's you. Right away, let them know it's not you at all. You can't do this. God through you does all this. The God of Abraham, Peter said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, from whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, now look at this, and Jesus' name, through faith in the name of Jesus, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. It's never you doing it. You're just the vessel that God has chosen to work through. And it doesn't matter what walk of life you're in. God uses all things for his glory. If he can use a donkey to talk, he can use us. To use us with signs, wonders, and miracles. And then the call to repentance. Peter had the call to repentance in Acts chapter 3, verse 17. He said, "Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance," you know, crucified Jesus, "as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, He has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who is preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear the prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Let's stop there. I want you to know one thing, each one of you are, if God said you, you are a prophet. And God is using you and he's speaking through you. And when you tell the people they have to repent and turn from their sins, if they don't, that's not on you. That's on them. Your job is just to tell them that they're doing wrong and that they need to turn and receive Christ. He says, yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Peter does not hesitate to tell them and us that we need to repent, and he tells them why. Your job is to do the very same thing. In love, with a lot of grace, you need to speak to those who are in sin right now, because we don't have any more time to fool around. If you have a friend that's in sin, you need to, in love, ask God. Say, God, move through me at the proper time when I should speak to this person. Open a door, and God will open a door for you to speak to that person. And God will speak through you. It won't be your words, but he'll put the words in your mouth for you to speak to them, and they will receive, or they will reject. If their heart is open to God, they will receive. And they will receive Christ. But if they've made their heart a heart of stone, you're not going to be able to get through them. So you have to walk away. But you don't walk away in hate. You just let them know that you love them and that you're praying for them. All right? Do you have that? The Bible needs to be preached now more than ever. Have you seen how they're just putting God away altogether? Everything that's godly, they are just pulverizing it. If you do anything godly, you go to jail. But if you do anything sinful, they praise you for it. We need to be about the Father's business. And we need to be, I'm hearing God say, we need to be walking where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob walked. And we need to be fulfilling the scriptures this day. Okay, and my question to you is, why did they keep gathering at Solomon's porch? Because many of the miracles of that day were performed at Solomon's porch. It was certainly located in one of the few public places in Jerusalem that was large enough to accommodate a large crowd. It was also where people passed through or gathered to socialize and discuss before or after their sacrifice and prayers at the temple. That's a good place to share the gospel. You know, don't act high and mighty. Be who you are. And then witness to the people. You don't look down upon people because they don't know what you know or they're not where you're at. Give your testimony. Share the love of Christ with them. Share the grace of God with them. And allow God to do the moving. Allow God to do the pruning of those around about you who need to be pruned. It's the love of God that's going to see the people through. I'm going to tell you one thing. If you're really a loving person and you have compassion in your heart, God is going to use you. But you have to have love as your foundation. And when you can love all the unlovables, then God will use you. But if you can't love, God can't use you. You have to learn to forgive and forget. Many of us have been hurt and wounded. Each one of us could write a book about our scars, couldn't we? You know, each one of us, we've gone through the valley of despair more times than we care to go. We can't meditate on that. We have to let that go, and we have to move on with God. And we have to win. The people out there in that world are messed up on drugs. Drugs and alcohol. They need God now more than ever. And God has been telling us that every second of every day somebody falls into the pits of hell because nobody was there to show them Christ. Do you have what it takes to show people Christ? Can you go to somebody that's all messed up, stinky, and you know, dirty and defiled, and put your arms around about them and say, Jesus loves you, just like you are, because he does. Do you know the drug addicts or prostitutes and alcoholics don't want to be what they are? They are bound. They are bound. And they need somebody who understands that, who can go to them and say, you know, it doesn't matter. God loves you. And pull them out of that junk. How busy were the apostles during this time of rapid church growth? Too busy to even stop and touch or speak to those whom the Lord was healing. And it is probable that the rest of the church was very busy as well. What did God tell us? We're going to be so busy that we'll be in church all the time. And so we were supposed to be getting our stuff in order because we wouldn't have time to get it in order. Where is it at? The church in Florida, they started out just one night. They're there day and night, 365 days of the year, ministering, and God's working in great signs, wonders, and miracles in a tent along the highway. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to give up your social life and be about the Father's business? Each one of you came here tonight because God drew you here. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. I don't care who invited you. I don't care what you thought. The Holy Spirit wanted you here tonight. He wants to use each one of you in the works that needs to be worked. And as I look around at you, there's so many different personalities in here tonight. So many different personalities. And God needs to use each one of you. God loves you. All right. Who were healed? Acts 5:16 says, all who were sick and tormented by unclean spirits who were brought to the Christians in Jerusalem. God healed them all. Not just one or two, but all. If you don't know what it is to walk day and night with the Spirit of God leading you and seeing signs, wonders, and miracles all the time, you aren't going to get as excited as I am right now. That's the way I've been walking ever since God called me into the ministry, except for the past 10 years, which has been a horrible, and I've said it to the pulpit, I can't deal with this. I have to have more of God. And see, this is what God is trying to do to us. He wants us to desire him so much that says that is about all we think about is a deeper walk with him. Are you understanding this? I didn't say to quit your jobs. You can want more of God just sitting at your desk, driving your car. Just seek God. All right. In Solomon's porch, the believers had a common faith in Jesus as they met on Solomon's porch. How many signs and wonders were being performed by the apostles among the people who were gathered together in Solomon's colonnade? And Acts 5:12 says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And what has God been trying to get the church to do? Walk in unity. And that's been the hardest thing that I've ever seen God try to do, is to get the church to walk in unity. Everybody has to be the top dog. and people get jealous of each other's giftings. How dumb can that possibly be? We have no reason to get jealous of anything. You know, I am a prophet and I know that. When I'm through teaching up here, I usually go back there and sit down, and I let the other prophets in the church, I let God use them to prophesy to the people. I'm not jealous of their gifting. I know who I am in Christ, and I know the power and authority that I have. And so therefore, I can let other people work and do the works that I could do. Are you understanding this? So if you're going to go out there and be a leader, don't think you're the only one that can do it. Teach others how to lead too, and teach others how to bring their giftings forth. And you just sit back and smile like Jesus does. Because look at my students. They're graduating. They're getting stronger every day. Jesus looks down from heaven. He smiles upon us. He's so proud of each one of you. I mean, I don't know where you're at in your walk with God, but God knows. But you're probably further along today than you were yesterday.